Hey, sweeties. We all know the importance of building a bright future, and that includes feeling secure. That's why Keep It Positive, Sweetie, is a proud partner with State Farm, a good neighbor who understands the importance of protecting what matters most in the Black community. State Farm isn't just about insurance. They're committed to investing in our communities because they believe the future of Black excellence is a future worth protecting. From supporting HBCUs to promoting financial literacy, State Farm empowers Black families to thrive. Stay tuned after the episode to learn more. Hello and welcome to this episode of Keep It Positive, Sweetie. I'm Crystal Renee Hazlett, and today I have with me someone that I know has made you laugh, the one, the only, Emmanuel Hudson.
Yes, sir, in the flesh.
Yes, you are here.
How are you doing, Crystal? How long it been, like?
Oh my gosh.
It's been some years.
I think I ran to you at the mall like not too long ago, maybe like a year ago.
Really?
Remember you was with Nico and Kaylin, you was in the mall in the big truck at Phipps.
That's how
I saw you.
Yep. Over there, yep. What about Phipps? Wow. Are you sure that was a year ago?
Yeah, it had been maybe last year, maybe sometime. It was actually last year sometime. Time flies.
Yep.
And we'd be busy. So it all kind of like, when did I see? But like, it's been a minute since we actually got to sit down and chill.
Mm-hmm.
Oh man, I'm so happy to have you here. We start the show off with a quote or a song, and I'd be remiss if I didn't take it back to where I remember. The world really was like, these guys are funny, and that was Questions.
Oh, yeah.
It was so funny. I was in my room practicing. I was like, where?
Oh, my God.
Who?
Man.
You been where?
That's
with who?
That's funny you say that because a lot of people don't know that. That's my least favorite video.
Why?
Out of all the videos that I've ever done.
It's so relatable and real.
Yeah. I mean, simply because when I was writing it, mm-hmm. after I did it and I played it back on a little small camera that I had, a little laptop, I would just kind of look at it and I'm just like, man, this is whack. Like, this is not funny.
And you didn't think the people would think it was funny?
Nah, but simply because I don't know. I wasn't feeling it. But it had been maybe like two and a half some years since I've dropped a video, and then that's when I just tweeted it. I was just like, hey, because Nico was on the way to come pick me up to go bowling, and the bowling alley was like 12 minutes away from my house at the time, and when he told me he was on the way, I was still watching. I'm like, man, I ain't putting it out in 2-3 years. I mean, whatever. So I tweeted it like 3 times. Went to get dressed. Nico came and got me on the way to the bowling alley in the middle of the drive. Like, my homeboy Andre Columbus called me and was like, yo, your video going viral. I'm like, which one? He was like, I guess the one you just put up in the red hoodie or something. I said, dog, I just put that up probably like 6-7 minutes ago.
Right.
He said, yeah, it's a word story, man. It got over 400,000 views already.
That's crazy.
I was like, what? And when we get to the bowling alley, like, people were coming up to me and was like, hey, is this you? I'm like... it's over with. They put me back. They put me in the game. I'm in the game.
Wow. So, that's crazy how something that you were like, oh, this is whack. This is stupid. Mm-hmm. And probably were reluctant to post it. And then that fast.
That's usually how it is. Like, a lot of musicians can and artists can understand, music artists can understand. Like, you could be working on an album and the one song you really just put your all into, blood, sweat, and tears, this one gonna go.
Mm-hmm.
And you put that out, and it's like, yeah, it's cool, but it's the one you just threw together at 3 a.m. in the morning before the deadline. That's the one that goes crazy.
Oh, my gosh, every time.
Yeah, I think it had that same effect with Questions.
I love that.
But
I love that.
It was cool, though.
I remember the first time I met you in person. It was, I was actually a part of one of your, we got to find the footage. The baseball field song.
Oh, yeah.
What's up?
Hey, look, listen. It's, in the DMs.
In the DMs.
In the DMs. It was a parody of It Goes Down in the DMs.
Yep.
No. It wasn't. Nope. That was another one. That was a parody for In the DMs.
But it was like, because it was sliding in these with the
baseball.
Yeah,
this was the original In the DMs. We was on the baseball field.
Yes.
Me, you, Kayla, Phil.
Yes.
It was so many people. And we got hits, man.
Y'all got hits.
We got hits.
No, for real. No, I remember that. We had to find the footage of that for sure and put it up. I was at the at home base about to hit the ball.
Yeah. Oh, I think you was in the scene. You might have been in the scene with DC.
Yeah, DC Young Fly was DC, there. Yes.
Yeah, I think he was the umpire.
And yes,
he was
at the, that scene. Yeah.
Wow. We got hits.
We got hits and we go way back. But I remember that was the first time I actually got to meet you and see the work and the energy you guys put behind your content. Mm-hmm. Like, that was my first time. And I feel like that's when, like, content and social media was really, really starting to come together. Mm-hmm. And we had never seen people do it the way y'all were doing it. YouTube was booming. But, like, to see how you were literally shooting, like, real videos behind. Yeah, like, y'all took it serious.
Yeah, man, we still doing it, man. You we still are. At it, man, yeah.
Into another level, and I love that. Yeah, I do.
I appreciate that. That's why. That's crazy. I didn't know that was the first time we met.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's what's up, though.
Yeah, no, for sure. I want to take it back, because I always like to give our audience an opportunity to get to know our guests from childhood to where they are now, to kind of give them a sense of the journey. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about young Emmanuel. Mm-hmm. Like, were you always funny, or were you shy at some point? How did you even get started in this?
The young Emmanuel, I was always like a class clown, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? But at the same time, Mom, Dukes, and Pops, they didn't play that bad grade type stuff, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? So for the most part, yeah, I believe so, you know, because it's kind of hard to like explain what your personality is at that age. You're not thinking about that, mm-hmm. you know, that's usually other people's job to tell you like, what they think about you, but from what I've heard from close friends and people that actually know me, yeah, I was the class clown, always making people laugh, just cool with everybody. If we're in school, I'm cool with the cheerleaders, the jocks, the lames, the chess club.
Same.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. I'm cool with everybody.
Yeah.
I believe I was very outgoing, especially in college before mm-hmm. all this stuff got started. Mm-hmm. Man, I remember the first time I went to Albany State. And the football team wanted to fight me. Yeah, because when my orientation day, they were up there doing a dance that my brother had made years ago, and it was mm-hmm. called Crank That O'Keefe.
Oh, wow.
And they, like, I'm like, I saw them do it on stage, and I'm like, yo, that's my brother. Like, that's my brother dance. I'm like, oh, no, no. Like, so I get up at orientation in front of everybody, all the freshmen. I go on stage. I'm like, yo, that's my brother dance.
Yeah.
They was like, oh, what? So we started dancing, and that's kind of how I became, like, known on that campus.
Right.
And they were like, I had introduced them to a new dance that my brother created. My older brother, O'Keefe Hudson.
Okay.
Yeah.
Dope.
And I had introduced the campus to a new dance that the football team, they were just hating at the time. Mm. But over time, like one by one, like one of the football players, they even put a hit on me. I ain't gonna lie, I'm telling you, man, my childhood, I mean, my young Emmanuel was like, I got a story, man. It's just be funny. But they word around campus was they was hating so hard that they was like, yo, we gonna beat him up if he come to the club.
Wow.
And someone came to me and they was like, I was like, yo, y'all trying to go to the club? I had no idea though.
Right.
And one of my friends at the time, he was like, I don't think you wanna go to the club tonight because he was on the football team. Mm. And he was like, man, yeah, they got a list of people that they gonna beat up and you on the list.
Oh my goodness.
And I'm just like,
what I do?
I'm like, so y'all wanna go to the club? Like, we gonna go or not? You know what I'm saying?
Oh, you still wanted to go?
Yeah, I was going, because I probably would have got my butt whooped if I would have went, but mm-hmm. I just wasn't really thinking about that.
Yeah.
And then just later on, as time progressed, one by one of the football team, one of the football players, they would see me in mm-hmm. different areas of the campus or at the gas station. Mm-hmm. And I remember being at the gas station paying for annihilators. Mm-hmm. And I looked up, and one of the football players, he was just kind of looking at me. Mm-hmm. And then he was just like, hey, man, you cool, dog. You know what I'm saying? Like, he dapped me up. He was like, man, the dance funny, too, that you're doing. And it's just one by one. They just start showing love, mm-hmm. like, over time. And I'm like, I mean, you know?
Yeah.
But it was pretty dope, man. That was after I had found out that they were doing the dance in the locker room. They were so busy joking on me and, like, mm-hmm. roasting me.
But they were actually
doing it. And it was like, you know,
yeah,
it is what it is, man.
I love that. At any point, like, during that journey, I guess that was a point of, like, some form of bullying, being the funny guy. Did you ever go through that?
No.
In high school? Because you were always just the most.
Man, I'm a roaster. You know what I'm saying? Like,
fire your ass.
It's hard. Facts. It's hard to bully me. You come and say something about me. you know, in from the South Side, Clay County, we do one thing, a true roaster know what they mean. We look you up and down, check, rate you real quick, but I'm on your butt, you know what I'm saying? Like, man, I ain't going for none of that.
Yeah.
And then just growing up with five older brothers, you know what I'm saying? Well, wow. Phil is the youngest. Mm-hmm. But just growing up in a house full of brothers, man, we weren't going. I got, look, you put your hands on me, I got two more brothers in the next grade up. We on your head. We're gonna, you know, see what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's crazy.
I don't think I've ever been.
Hey, sweeties. Have you ever wondered what's in the products you use on a daily basis? Well, let me tell you about Elle. Elle, like the letter, is a brand committed to providing you period care products inspired by nature, made without dyes, fragrances, and synthetic pesticides. Their pads have a breathable cotton top layer and a plant-based core, and their tampons contain an organic cotton core. Now, not only can you feel good about Elle's ingredients, but also Elle's price. With tampons and pads that protect for under $5 a month, Elle believes access to period care is not only a fundamental right for everyone, but an opportunity for change as well. That's why Elle is on a mission to make exceptional period care accessible for all by providing funding each year to nonprofit community-based organizations around the world focused on period care accessibility, menstrual health education, and employment opportunities. So, if you're looking for a brand that aligns with your values of giving back and using products inspired by nature, look no further than Elle. If you want to learn more about their mission or browse their full range of products, visit their website at thisiselle.com. And the next time you're in the period care aisle, look for Elle pads and tampons. Choose love, choose Elle.
Nah, I've never been bullied. Mm-hmm. Not like that.
That's good. When you talk to my team, they ask you about spirituality because we always touch on people's faith walk. Mm-hmm. And you said you were raised in a church, mm-hmm. and you were spiritual, but like not too super religious.
Right, right.
What was that like?
I mean, at the time, again, being kids, my parents did the best that they could with, mm-hmm. just like instilling the word of God in us. Mm-hmm. But as kids, like, we were kind of just going to church and being in the church all the time because they kind of like made us, you know,
right.
what I'm saying?
So, like most kids.
Yeah, like most mm-hmm. kids, but because my mom and dad kept at it, certain stuff stuck with us, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? But yeah, we was in church Sunday to Sunday, man. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday night, yeah. Thursday, Friday, then on the holidays, Halloween, Hallelujah night. One no trick or treat.
No.
You can trick or treat with the Lord. You know what I'm saying? That's just how it went. But
yeah.
as we got older, when I started experiencing certain things in life, like just in my teens, being on my own a little bit more,
yeah,
I was a little rebellious because I didn't get to do a lot as a kid. Same. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
But not too rebellious.
Mm-hmm.
But now that I know what I know now, I am kind of proud of my spirituality when I was younger, even though I may not know what I was doing at the time.
Mm.
I used to try to get my friends saved.
Really?
You know what I'm saying? Yeah,
wow.
Like, I'm in middle school, and my homeboy, his name was Kentez Strozer,
mm-hmm.
and he lived across the neighborhood from us, and I used to always go over there and jump on his trampoline.
Mm-hmm.
And one day, I went over there, was jumping on the trampoline, and I got to talking to him about Christ. And I had like, I'm like, man, you want to be saved? He's like, yeah, how?
Mm-hmm.
I'm just little old me, just on the trampoline. We out there praying. I'm like, man, all you gotta do is just ask him, you know, be your
wow.
Lord and Savior. Da, da, da.
Mm-hmm.
And my best friend Mike Wells.
Yeah.
Shout
out, Mike.
he right now. You know what I'm saying? Ended up introducing him too. You know what I'm
wow.
saying? Trying to get him saved.
Mm-hmm.
Got him saved. He yeah. got saved. And then I think my senior year of Fayette County,
mm-hmm.
at Fayette County, I took a group of my friends, and we all went to church, and I think I got a few of them saved, except for one.
Uh-huh.
One of them told me, he's like, man, I ain't ready. I just want to make sure I'm perfect. You know, I want to make sure I'm perfect before
yeah.
I get my life together. I'm like, it don't work like that.
It did not work like
it
that.
Don't
you
work
ain't
like
never
that,
gonna
but,
be perfect.
You know,
yeah.
it's just your job to plant the seed.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? So.
I love that. I love that. I noticed on your Instagram, you've been like posting about like certain scriptures and asking questions about faith. And mm-hmm. What brought that about? Because I hadn't really seen that on your social media until recently.
What just brought about the post? Or
yeah, the post. Because I noticed you were asking questions and you'd post like scriptures or things.
Oh,
that,
yeah. Oh, yeah. Honestly, I just basically rededicated my life back to Christ. Wow. Not too long ago. Because even though I was raised spiritually and in the church, you know, as you get older with this lifestyle, mm-hmm. you know, and being introduced into the industry or whatever, you can kind of like, you know, derail a little bit or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then one day, it's pretty crazy. My older brother, O'Keefe, he had posted a scripture, Genesis 3:16. And then the question that he asked was something around like, why is it bad to desire only for your husband? Like, why is that a punishment? Mm-hmm. And then that struck my interest. I'm like, what you mean? Like, I thought desiring for your husband is a good thing.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And when I went and looked it up, it says that was part of her, that was part of Eve's curse. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, how, I thought you're supposed to desire only want your husband. So mm-hmm. how is it a curse?
Right.
It turns out that the word desire translates to control. Mm. So part of her curse, even though it was for Eve's curse, mm-hmm. it affected, mm-hmm. you know, the men got affected too, because once they, you know, bit of the forbidden, you know, fruit mm-hmm. or whatever, he gave us punishments together and then he gave punishments separately.
Right.
And one of Eve's punishment was pain during childbirth, mm-hmm. and the other one was you would desire to only for your husband, which translates to control. So that in return, it says, from now until the end of time, men and women will try to wrest control in a relationship. They will continue to bicker, but women, you would never succeed. Your husband will rule over you.
Mm-hmm.
So when I read that, a lot, like, my mind kind of got blown, and I'm like, dog, I've been since I've started dating women, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? I be wondering, no offense to the women out there, but y'all could be a little crazy. And when I read that scripture, I'm like, my mind was just like, wait a minute, like, mm-hmm. wow. You mean to tell me that's why we have all this? Mm-hmm. Oh, the woman's supposed to do this, the man's supposed to do this. No, I'm independent. It's like, that's, God knew what he was doing. Mm-hmm. And that's one hell of a curse.
Yeah.
Like, that's, you know what I'm saying? So after that, it just made me realize you got to get in the word for yourself.
We have been talking about that. Like, yeah. Literally, the last person we had, Ms. Lawrence, talking about you have to know it for yourself. And at church, PD, we did a whole series on God Did Not Say That.
Mm-hmm.
Because we've been taught by different pastors growing up, this is what it is. And that's how you use the word. But a lot of people can perverse the word.
Mm-hmm. And if you don't know it yourself, you can easily fall victim, yes, to, like, false doctrines and stuff like,
mm-hmm,
that.
Yeah. That's so real.
So, yeah, he got me into that. And ever since then, I slowly started, like, I would go to him and be like, hey, man, like, what you think this is? Mm-hmm. And he was like, man, oh, yeah, that means this, you know, da 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 da. So he's kind of like my one of my advisors when I, you know, when I read and I study. Mm-hmm. I go to him because he's been doing it going on like six, 7 years now.
Wow.
You know, studying. So shout out to my big brother, O'Keefe, for that.
Yeah.
And ever since then, you know what I'm saying, I would post certain things to kind of like provoke people to go read for themselves. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to sit here and give you the answer, mm-hmm, because that's the problem now. If you listen to me,
mm-hmm,
then like you just like, oh, okay, whatever. But mm-hmm, if you read for yourself and get a better understanding,
yeah,
then honestly, that can lead to the world being a better place, like, no cliche.
Yeah, no, that's real. Mm-hmm. That's real. I love that. And a lot of times the way you read it and receive it is different based on what you're going through.
Mm-hmm.
I may read it and take it in a totally different way. Mm-hmm. And it's really how God speaks to you through the scripture.
Right.
So you started off doing videos. What was like, I'm going to start making videos? Because you're doing it, I'm sure you've been clowning home, you've been doing it at school, but what made you say, I'm going to do this for the people?
I never actually said that.
Really? You just like got in your computer and was like, I'm going to do
videos. Yeah, because my two older brothers, Matthew Hudson and O'Keefe, mm-hmm, Hudson, they actually started doing music videos first, sitting, mm-hmm, in front of the camera doing songs.
Oh.
And they just decided to hit me and Phil up and was, mm-hmm, just like, hey, yo, y'all want to have like a brotherly competition type thing? Like, we make songs, this and the third. And I'm like, well, yeah, Phil, let's do it. So when we put our songs together, mm-hmm, we was going back and forth,
mm-hmm,
and we would put it just like on Facebook. It started, yeah, on Facebook, and that kind of just grew.
Mm-hmm.
So people were like, when we went to school, me and Phil went to school, people were like, yo, that video y'all did was kind of, we was kind of getting on a little, you know, locally.
Uh-huh.
And it just, somebody was like, they suggested that we put them on YouTube, but we didn't really know anything too much about it.
Right.
But I ended up putting them on YouTube, and it was cool. You know what I'm saying? For basketball games, we'll go to different basketball games, mm-hmm. and the students would know who we were and stuff.
Yeah.
And then that's when I went off to college, which explains why I didn't drop a video in like 2 to 3 years.
Got it. Okay.
So after I got kicked out of college the second time, I came home, and that's when I did asking all them questions, and that's when it like.
That's crazy. I love that. And then from then, when did Nick Cannon recognize you and say, hey, I want you to be on my show? Or did you try out for that? How'd that come about?
He reached out first.
Really?
And then he wanted me to audition. Mm-hmm. He had called me. He was like, yo, man, been watching your videos for a minute, man. I'm a fan. I want you to come on Wild Now, audition. Mm-hmm. And it's funny. Let him tell it. He said, when he called me and said, yeah, man, I want you to audition for Wild Now, I was like, yeah, man, but I got this mixtape that I want you to hear. No, dog. Like, I really do music. Like, what's up with the music, man? Da, da, da. And he was like,
I'm calling you at a show.
Like, I'm trying to put you on. And you talking, I'm like, man, yeah, that's cool, but I got a mixtape. You know what I'm saying? Because I really love doing music. That was my first love. Like, comedy just happened to take off and start paying the bills. So I kind of put that side of me, you know, back here. But I'm back to doing music and stuff like that. Actually, me and Phil just dropped 2 singles called Acts and Coots.
Yeah.
But when he called, he was kind of like, yeah. But I ended up auditioning and getting it.
That is crazy. Now, you had the competitions between the brothers, and you and Phil really took off.
Mm-hmm.
But the brothers wanted to start. Now, do they feel salty about this?
Nah. Okay. Nah. I don't know. Do y'all think?
Right.
Nah, not. To be honest with you, no. They was just super proud, you know what I'm saying? And then I rag on them a lot about it. I'm like, man, yeah, y'all know who the real brothers is.
Right.
Matt O'Keefe, y'all know what's up, man. Don't never try me again. You know what's going on. But it's all good, though. Yeah. It's definitely all love.
I love that. Okay. So you're doing Wildin' Out. You're still on Wildin' Out. Mm-hmm. How's that been? Because that was, how many years?
I don't know. Once they started shooting twice a year, I kind of lost track of the season. Because it was easier to... every year they shoot once, so you'd be like, oh, boom, boom, boom. But it just got in such high demand that they start shooting twice a year. I'm losing. So I don't know.
Yeah.
I know I've probably been on there probably since possibly 2013, maybe 2015, one of those.
That is amazing. It's still going. That is a long-running show.
Yeah, I know.
Like, I thought I was watching Wildin' Out when I was, when did it?
You probably was, man.
Yeah, I was.
You probably was.
It's been a long time.
Yeah, you probably was.
Yeah.
We got a new season that's, I don't know what they're doing with it, but it's supposed to be dropping soon.
Okay.
Yeah. Well,
that's dope. So you're on social media a lot. One thing I've noticed that even more, ever since social media has come about, people feel like they have the right to have an opinion on everything you do. Mm-hmm. How do you deal with that? Because I know sometimes we didn't ask for, we just want to be creatives. We want to do what we love to do. We found a passion, and that's what we love to do, but people always have something to say. Have you dealt with it? And then at any point where you kind of like reading the comments and second guessing, like, or wanting to say something back?
Of course, man. All the time. I'm definitely better at it now. You know what I'm saying? Again, now that I've been understanding how Christ will react to certain things, I found myself within that journey of just like trying to let Christ live through me.
Mm-hmm.
I would find myself about to. And then I hold. I'm like, oh, snap, this is. I can do this. You know,
yeah.
I might. I get the urge sometimes to roast back a little bit.
Right.
But as far as the seriousness of getting angry, because out of the ignorance of people,
yeah,
that was a struggle for me.
Mm-hmm.
but at a very, very early start in my career, before Wildin' Out, I remember being on. It kind of taught me something about the game. So I never was too like. Hung up on trying to be super famous and get so super big to the point where it's like I'm just all over the place simply because I, at a very early start of my career, I saw what comes with it.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one day I was on Twitter, and this was right around maybe a couple months after asking all them questions had dropped.
Mm-hmm.
And my Twitter was like, the Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never experienced anything like this. I was watching back when Twitter had like worldwide trending.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I was just like, man, let me see if I can make a trend go worldwide. And then the first, I think one of the first ones I did was hashtag baby daddy mixtape titles.
Wow.
And it went worldwide trending like quick. And then I'm like, oh, snap, like, okay.
Yeah.
And then I tried and I was like, let me do four more. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to see.
Right.
And I like did baby mama mixtape titles. I did a bunch more and all of them were trending worldwide at the same time. So to me, I was looking at that like, wow, like I got Twitter in the palm of my hand, like not on some like non-humble stuff, but this is Twitter.
Yeah.
And the fact that this many people are watching my page in order for things to be trending worldwide. That's kind of crazy.
Right.
So with that kind of power, what ended up happening was one day I just randomly tweeted. I tweeted something and I said something different at the time, but it was saying studs are just nice guys that girls don't give nice guys a chance. They're like, studs are just nice guys that girl won't give a chance. You know what I'm saying? Something like that. And someone else that was a part of that community, she was like, hey, why don't you believe or support the LGBT community? Like, what is that about? And I had gave a scripture of why, you know what I'm saying? This is what I believe in, you know what I'm saying? I ain't got no problem, but this is just what I believe in. And someone, she wasn't offended at all, but someone else had took a different tweet and then another tweet, and they kind of mesh them together to make it seem like I said this when that it was all out of context. But once that hit, I literally watched my account drop over 200,000 followers.
Wow.
In a matter of days. It was just it just kept going down. And once I immediately saw it just like this, I sat there.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gym, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience. So when you see that shiny blue check mark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back. When you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulders, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
And I was like, I was around like 600 going on almost 700,000 followers, and it was just climbing. But once I said that and someone tweeted it out, I watched it just drop 200 some thousand, and I'm just sitting here like, I said, good thing I was raised spiritually, because if my opinion does this much damage and this is because of something that I stand on, even though they took this out of context, let me not get too attached to this industry, because it's that easy to lose, you know, all the fame and this, that, and the third. And my management at the time, they were kind of upset. They were just like, man, you know, that's bad for business. And I'm just looking at them like, hey, man, y'all better get used to me. I ain't got to get used to y'all. Like, it is what it is. You know what I'm saying? Now, as the older I got, I do understand, like, the politics of it all in the sense of, you don't have to say everything that comes to your mind. Yeah. There is a way you can play it. Not looking for no balance when it comes to, you know, my spiritual beliefs. But some things ain't always got to be said to the point where, you know, you losing that many followers. Because one of the main reasons why God put me in this position is to reach, you know, that many, as many people as I can. So I ain't afraid to, you know, claim Christ at all. And if I feel like I'm going, that's what I want to do, that's what I'm going to do.
Absolutely.
But you can be smarter about things. You know what I'm saying?
So it was a lesson, a learning lesson for you.
Yeah.
No, I'm sure I feel that. And a lot of times we do, like I've even been guilty of that, or I'll say things, I'm like, because I'm comfortable in the moment, I'm just being authentic. I'm like, ugh, maybe I could have said that different. Maybe I shouldn't have said that, you know.
Yeah, but I feel like sometimes The reason why that's kind of tricky is simply because some people get it, some people don't. So who am I supposed to, which one am I supposed to cater to? Like, am I supposed to cater to, get a tutor? You know what I'm saying? I said what I had to say. This group of people got it, so it is what it is. But overall, I don't really, I just stick to my content now. I try not to have too many opinions about politics or let my personal stuff, personal life get involved with social media.
Yeah, so that's good. That's smart too. It really is. Becoming famous over, like, you walk to bowling alley and people are like, is it you? And then now everywhere you go, I know, like, you probably gotten used to it now, but in the beginning, was that a big adjustment for you to, for everybody, you're the guy from whatever?
It still is.
Really?
It still is. Because it's, for me, going from being the outgoing person, you know what I'm saying, the class clown, the one that's cool with everybody, but try to make everybody feel good and things like going to now where I go a lot of places, people recognize me and they got eyes on me and they, you know, it's just sometimes it can get kind of like, you know what I'm saying? You
might, exactly.
you want to stay in the crib, you don't really want to go out. And it's not because you know, you trying to be Hollywood, but people are crazy. And I've had some crazy things happen to me to the point where, oh, this is not normal. I appreciate the love and support, but like, it's certain times when you out or when you're doing certain things, that's not okay. And it's more about us. It's more of a security thing than I don't want nobody talking to me.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. No, I know exactly what you mean. And for me, the same thing. It's still like getting used to people. Fatima, getting used to that. And it's like, sometimes like you may hear somebody like, is that Fatima? And I just,
listen,
like you can hear him like whispering in the back of your ear. It's crazy. Or you turn a corner and somebody literally, I was in Home Goods one day and I turned a corner and this lady was like, and it was like a scared look. So I'm looking back like, and she's like, I just couldn't believe it, that it was you.
Yeah.
And I was like, it is me.
Yeah.
Looking like myself.
It's tricky because, like, especially when you try to understand how to treat people how Christ would.
Yes.
It's like, some people can be rude. Some people can be.
I have not had anybody rude, thank God.
You have not had what, like, recognize you and walking up on you while you're trying to eat?
Oh, rude like that. Oh, yeah.
Man, when you try to react.
Mid-bite.
You know what I'm saying? Oh my God. And that's what I'm saying. It's kind of tough because it's like, I don't mean no harm. I don't want you to take this moment that you met me for the first time and then go over here and do all this stuff. But it's like, it's like a, I'm not gonna say it's a balance. It's just tricky. Cause again, I've had things happen that I just can't believe. And it's like, man, should I go out? Like, do I want to go out? Cause people are crazy.
Yeah.
I had a fan walk up to me. Me and Phil was at Clark University, Clark, Atlanta.
Yeah.
And we was doing a meet and greet. And she walked up. Me and Phil was sitting down. And she walked up to me and she said, oh my God, Emmanuel Hudson, I love you. And then she slaps me.
What?
Straight slapped me. And I don't know why. I don't know why. She just slapped me and I was like, I looked at Phil.
Like a real slap.
Yeah, like a real slap. And Phil looked, he looked at me and he looked at her. I'm like,
what was that?
She's like, surprisingly, I didn't do anything. I was just kind of staring. I was so shocked. I'm like, man, you love me? I don't think I want to be loved that much. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I don't want to be
but
loved like that.
That was probably the craziest, but I was watching one of your episodes. And I think it was a clip and you had talked about how people mess with you in church.
Yes. Yeah.
It was so funny because when I went to church one time, I tried to get up early
to get
leave.
Out. Yep.
When he get ready to do the benediction, I listened to the benediction on the way out. But as I was walking up the aisle, someone was like, hey, oh my God, it's Emmanuel. Can I get your autograph? And I'm like, yeah. She started digging in her purse.
No, she didn't.
She gave me a pen. She found some little flyer or something to write on. So as I was writing my autograph, the woman in front of her, in the seat in front of her, reached in her purse, then reached back like this and dug the paper in my hand as I'm trying to write someone else. She was just like, I'm next. What? And I'm just like, man, what are y'all doing, bro? Like,
you need to be getting this benediction. Man, I'm trying to get out of here to dodge y'all.
It just, it'd be crazy, but it, at the same time, I do look at it now like, this may be a chance to minister to somebody, mm-hmm. or it just may be a chance, you know, hey, man, I appreciate the love and support. But mm-hmm. sometimes, yeah, reality, yeah, it gets a bit overwhelming.
It does, yeah, that's real. At any point, did you, like, have you ever had anxiety over it or anything like that? Because I know for me, just the life and, like the overwhelmingness of life sometimes and success has caused me anxiety. Have you ever battled with it?
Now, forgive me if I sound stupid on this, but I don't think I really understand exactly what anxiety is, you know, or what that's it feels not a, like. What's the, what is
oh
that?
Oh my God, that's not stupid. That's not stupid, because it was until like 2000, what was last year, 23, that I witnessed it for the first time. Cause I was like, same way, I'm like, well, I mean, like, you just deal with it. Like, just life goes on. Like, what are you talking about, anxiety? I did not understand it until I had my first anxiety attack. And it literally felt like I was having a heart attack. My vision was literally going like you, if I was looking at you, your face would be going like this. My heart is like racing.
What is an anxiety?
It's based like your body reacting to like all the stress that you're putting it under. And it's like, even from your thoughts to like your rigorous schedule, doubts that you have, any type of things that are happening. And eventually your body's like, yo, I can't take this anymore. You know, so it's a reaction to all these things. And I literally was looking up like symptoms of a heart attack. Cause I'm like, am I having a heart attack? Cause I had told my driver to stop somewhere. I get, I'm in Best Buy and I literally had to lean on a ladder. The ladder they get on to like restock, I had to like lean on it because I couldn't like stand. I was like, what is happening? So I get my bands together, I go back to the car. He's like, did you get what you need? I was like, no, I can't even like see. I was like, just take me to the hotel. My head was killing, my heart was just pounding. Lay down for hours, like literally my heart just did not stop pounding. And that's when I like realized, you're like literally, once I did the research and I called my therapist, she was like, that's an anxiety attack.
Oh no, I'm straight on that type of thing. I'm straight. Nah, I ain't never had no anxiety attack. Uh-huh. I thought it was something around like you getting nervous before a show or mm-hmm. something like, or what if these jokes don't hit? Mm-hmm. And yeah, if that's a part of it, then yeah, sometimes, mm-hmm.
But no, I feel like a little bit of nervousness is healthy.
No,
so you haven't dealt
never,
with it.
I ain't never had to lean on no Best Buy ladder.
Hey, Kiss family, it's time to celebrate Black History Month at the Walmart Black and Unlimited Clock. One at Flatiron Plaza in New York City, one at Ovation Hollywood in Los Angeles, from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m., with giveaways dropping every hour on the hour. It's the perfect time to try, like, and share Black-led products. It's free. That's right. And it's for everyone. And it's your chance to see how you can level up your daily routine with Black-led products that are creating a new world of choices at Walmart. Trust me, you don't want to miss it.
That's crazy.
Well, I'm glad you're all right, though.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good.
Are you used to it, though? I know you, this is, but are you used to it?
No, that's a good question. I'm getting used to it. You know, there's still times where I feel uncomfortable. If I'm just with my friends, I just want to be with my friends. Because also, you have to think about how it makes them feel. This is like the one moment they may get to spend with you. Like, your actual friends get to spend with you. And then somebody's constantly coming up, interrupting that moment. Mm-hmm. You know? So then they're like, you know what I'm saying? Like, can we ever just have our friend to ourselves? And it's like, so you deal with that, but then at the same time, you want to honor the people that, you know what I'm saying, that love you and that support you. So it's definitely a catch 22 when it comes to that. But all in all, no, I haven't gotten used to it. No.
I don't think I ever will, mm-hmm. because it's every day, it's a new kind of approach, or it's a new person. So, like I said, I've had people that, hey, they see me. Mm-hmm. Hey, man, keep doing your thing. Yeah. Boom, boom. I'm the ones I kind of like. You know what I'm saying?
Boom, boom, boom. Appreciate it.
But then you have people that they come to you while you're trying to eat. Mm-hmm. I was at the airport sitting down trying to eat a pizza, and this woman and her husband, they pull up. She got the phone already. She's like, oh, my God. And she sit down with me in the middle of me trying to take a bite. And you hear her husband say, hey, man, come on, man. That man trying to eat. He ain't trying to deal with that right now. I don't care what he trying to do. I'm going to get that picture. Gee, and I'm just like I can't even, like, if you even say anything like, hey, no, they take that some kind of way.
Yeah.
And then they can go back to a bunch of people that they know, and those people are gonna take their word for whatever she says, how you were.
Yeah. Because,
oh, you met him? How is he? Yeah. Oh, he was rude to it, and now they think you rude and don't even know you. So it can get deep.
Yeah. Since you rededicated your life to Christ, have you had any type of uncomfortableness or like? Because for me, I battle with like my career and my walk. Mm-hmm. Have you ever had any of those like battles, internal battles? Like, is God pleased with what I'm doing on my career side?
Of course.
Really?
Of course. But that honestly, that's what makes me understand even more that He's real. Because when I started reading the Bible for myself and taking it serious, at the time, I was smoking. Mm-hmm. And I never really used to smoke weed like that. Mm-hmm. But I started smoking until it got to a point where I was smoking every day because I had liked the feeling that it was giving me. Mm-hmm. I just liked how it just calmed me down. I seen a difference in who I was. Mm. Like the normal Emmanuel, I used to be like antsy, irritated quick, like, but I noticed that when I started smoking weed, it kind of just like mellowed me out. I'm chilling.
Yeah.
Like the video games are much fun now. Uh-huh. I'm a Madden player. I'm a Madden guy, actually. Okay. And one day I was playing a friend, but I was high. And it was the very first time I really like noticed something. Mm-hmm. But as I was playing, I picked a play that had me do like a zone defense. And when he did something in my head, I guess because I was just so chill, I almost left my zone, and the football players and me and y'all understand.
You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah. I almost left my zone, and something just told me, like, bro, don't leave your zone. That's where he's supposed to be. I was high, right? So I'm like, I ain't going to leave my zone. That's where he's supposed to be. And I picked it off. Uh-huh. Like, he threw an interception. I was like,
wait a minute.
I'm like, hold on. So how you supposed to play the game? I'm like, all right, boom, boom. So Call of Duty was much more fun. Mm-hmm. Like, it makes you feel like you really, let me stop. Yeah. Weed is, it's not that great.
It's not that great.
I don't want to make y'all, you know what I'm saying?
But
I got addicted to it.
Wow.
In a sense of, I just wanted to smoke. So I wake up, roll, got to the point where I was buying weed.
Wow.
And this was right around the time I started getting into my Bible as well. Mm-hmm. Friends saw a difference in me. Mm. They were just like, man, he him. Like, you, like, I'm waking up in the morning throwing outfits together. Like, man, let me just put this on. Mm-hmm. The drip was just coming naturally. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So when I started reading my Bible, but I would roll up and I would go outside, I would read and I would smoke. And the Holy Spirit would say, He would nudge, because I'm really new to the faith now in the sense of I rededicated my life back.
Yeah.
So now I'm seeing things for myself. Mm-hmm. So the Holy Spirit was like, hey, you ain't gonna see what I got to say about that. Mm. And ignored them. Cause you know, now I'm making music, and my music is allowing me to be creative.
Yeah.
So I'm like, nah, man, it can't, like, boom, boom, I'm doing good, you know? Mm-hmm. So over time, he just kept nudging at me. Mm-hmm. And I asked my older brother, O'Keefe, I was like, hey man, what you think about smoking weed? He's like, okay, well, technically the Bible doesn't say it's a sin, but God says all things are permissible through me, but not all things are wise. So he was like, I'm pretty sure if you look in the Bible, there are things that, cause a lot of people, when they read, they try to look for it strictly saying this is a sin.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
God don't, he don't even play with sin.
Yeah.
So it's things that you will read and you be like, now you know, you know this is a sin. For one, you smoke it illegally anyway.
Right.
You gotta abide by the laws of the land anyway. If it's not legal, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it was just certain things that I was reading. I'm like, man, I'm looking at the symptoms of continuing to smoke weed.
Mm-hmm.
And long story short, none of it was good.
Right.
So I'm like, this ain't of you. You would never make your child feel like this. So even though it doesn't simply say smoking is a sin, there's things about weed that you ain't going for.
Right.
So over time, after I kept ignoring it, one day I was just like, all right, man, let me see what the Bible got to say about it. That's when I called my brother. He told me. So I started reading certain things. And I'm like, well, you know, I can't argue with the man upstairs.
Mm-hmm.
So I started throwing everything away. Started throwing cones, papers, all that stuff away.
Mm-hmm.
But I had so much weed at the time, I didn't want to dump it in the trash can or flush it or anything like that. So I was like, you know what? my Uber's almost here. I'm finna go out of town. Let me put this up. I'll throw it away when I get back in town. Mm-hmm. So I go out of town for a couple of days, and I find myself asking other believers what they think about weed. Mm. Only because, though, God knew what I was doing. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I was only asking them to hope that they can tell me something different so I can feel better about that, smoking weed.
Right,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And when I got home from out of town, I was playing a game because mm-hmm. I had vowed to quit.
Yeah.
So I was playing a game, Madden again, and I'm back to my old self, not even realizing it. Then I'm jumping up and I'm like, man, see, if I was high, this it'd be right. I'm gonna be doing all this.
Right.
And I was like, man, you know what? I'm about to smoke. Cause it had been like a week and a half since I had smoked. Mm-hmm. I said, man, I'm finna roll up. And it is what it is. So I started rolling up and I was getting ready to walk outside. And God said, I told God, I was like, look, technically the Bible ain't say it's a sin. I ain't read where you know what I'm saying. Now I know what you said, but I'm just not ready to stop. And mm-hmm. when you ready for me to stop, you'll let me know. Right. But I just can't give it up right now. Mm-hmm. So I go outside.
I love these conversations with God.
Yeah, so yeah. I go outside and I hit the blunt probably like four times. And I was working on a song dedicated, you know what I'm saying, to him. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, see, Lord, the weed got me, you know what I'm saying? I'm finna, you know what? And I put the blunt down, and I kid you not, I may have took four hits and I got this little nauseous feeling right up here. Mm. And I said to myself, I was like, nah, you know what? Yeah, Lord, I hear you. I said, I'm gonna give it up because this little feeling that I'm feeling right now, that's not of you. You would never make your child feel whatever it is. This is not a good feeling. So yeah, I'm gonna quit. So I try to get up to grab my phone to continue writing, and I get super dizzy. Mm. And I sit back down like this, and I'm like, hold on. This started pounding, the right side of my forehead started pounding. And I'm like, man, my vision just started getting really dizzy. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, man, oh, I'm about to throw up. And I've never thrown up from smoking weed.
Yeah.
But I'm like, nah, this is about to be a bad one.
Yeah.
So when I try to get up, I just hear, nah, sit down real quick because you think I'm playing with you.
Mm.
You've already said you're going to give it up, but you over here asking other people what they think. Nah, sit down real quick.
So I sit down. Yesterday. What do you think about this? I did that.
Yeah, I sit down and then I'm like, man, maybe I'm just tripping. Maybe I'm just in my head. I try to get up again, sit down again. I can't move.
He said, sit down.
So now I'm like this. I'm twitching. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, bro, I can't move. Like, I don't know what's going on. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, maybe this is God telling me, you know, to focus on him. And, mm-hmm. you know, I get through it. So
yeah,
I couldn't take it. Mm-hmm. So I stood up, threw up everything I ate.
Wow.
From that morning, I was just throwing up. It was just, and as I'm throwing up, I'm looking at it and I just hear, you got your answer.
Oh.
You got your answer. You got your answer now. Now get in there and throw it away. And it was around 3 o'clock in the morning. Mm-hmm. And he was like, I don't care how you did all that throwing up. I don't care how tired it is. You're going to get out there. You're going to clean it up too. So I went in the house. I just started throwing stuff. I'm like, man, I hear you, dog. I hear you. And I'm waddling back outside to go clean it up. And it's just like, go to the bathroom. I had to go to the bathroom. So I was sitting on the toilet for like 45 minutes. I'm like, Lord,
he was
man.
He getting everything about you.
I'm like, what we doing, man? So after I was done, it was funny because I was sitting on the toilet like this. And I looked up. I was like, bro, you got it.
You got it.
But I bit Lord, you got it, man. But the funny thing is, everything was going.
Mm.
The high was going.
Yes.
The clarity was there. And usually when you smoke like that, like the high lingers.
Yeah.
But it was gone. And I just looked up at him and I'm like, all right, man, I give it up. And I ain't smoked since.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? And sometimes the devil try to play tricks, like, because I ended up realizing something that happened. And this is how the devil and your mind can play tricks on you.
Mm-hmm.
What happened was, when I was throwing that stuff away before I went out of town.
Now, I know financial stuff can sometimes feel confusing or even overwhelming. But listen, you got this. And guess what? Our good neighbors at State Farm are here to support Black women on this journey. They understand the importance of financial empowerment in our community. I mean, here's the thing. It all starts with knowledge. We got to figure out where our money's going, right? So, for the next week, let's challenge ourselves to track our income and expenses. There are tons of budgeting apps and resources available, but even a simple notebook can do the trick. Knowing where your money goes is the first step to taking control. Next, let's build a budget. Remember, financial security isn't about deprivation. It's about making your money work for you. Allocate your funds towards your goals, like that trip you've been dreaming of, or starting your own business. Don't forget to set aside some money for emergencies too, because life throws curveballs and you have to be prepared. Now, debt happens. I know we hate that word, but it happens. But don't beat yourself up about it if you have some. The key is to manage it effectively. There are resources available to help you with debt consolidation and repayment plans. Talk to your bank or financial advisor, and they can guide you in the right direction. And finally, let's invest in our future. Even small contributions towards a retirement savings plan can make a big difference down the line. I mean, think about it. A secure future where you can travel the world, spoil your grandkids, or finally write that book.
I mixed weeds because there was a jar for...
Oh, yeah.
I mixed, like, there's a jar for the hyper and there's one for the sleepy. Mm-hmm. I was planning on throwing it all away.
So you had...
So right. When I just did like this, after a couple days, after like a week or some change, when I was playing a game, I was searching for the one that'll get me hyper, mm-hmm. but I'm like, let me just pull something. So it must've, whatever, if that's a thing, I don't know. But I still don't charge it to that because there's no coincidence that I'm walking out and I'm saying, when you ready for me to start smoking, you'll let me know.
Yeah.
And then that happens. You know what I'm saying? So yeah. I ain't gonna lie, like sometimes mm-hmm. I used to miss it a little bit more, but now that I've been, you know, strengthened in my walk with them, yeah. I barely even think about it or miss it. Mm-hmm. But at first, sometimes I'd be like, man, I miss it, man. I just be wanting to chill. It ain't like I'm doing, I'm at home chilling, but
yeah.
It's just not a wise thing to do when mm-hmm. you're trying to lead people to Christ.
That's so true.
You know what I'm saying? So
yeah, that's good. I love that. And I feel like so many Christians and in their walk can identify with it, and it may not be smoking weed. It may be other things mm-hmm. that we struggle with. They're like, all right, Lord, when you ready for me to give this up? And he will make it very clear. And I hope it doesn't have to be as clear as yours, because that was that was a little painful.
I don't suggest anybody, because he will do it. Suggest anybody don't allow God to make an example out of you. Because a lot of people will give God the credit when he does something good for him. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, he gonna keep his word. Yeah, he gonna keep his word when he say this gonna happen if you keep doing this too. So, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? So that time in my life, I got made an example out of. Mm. But everything works together, you know what I'm saying?
That's good, absolutely. I love that.
So that my mishap became, my test became my testimony mm-hmm. in a sense, so.
Yeah, I love that. So have you inspired other friends to stop smoking? Or has anybody else been like, man, I see a difference in you since you stopped. I'm gonna stop too. Or are they like, that was your ministry. God didn't tell me that.
To be honest with you, again, it's all about planting the seed. Like, mm-hmm. cause at first mm-hmm. I started smoking and then after I stopped, I would be excited to tell other people like, oh, God is real, that you should stop doing this, that, and the third, but that's not my place.
Yeah.
Now I'm not gonna sit here and tell people smoking is a sin. It may be. Mm-hmm. I know it is for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And I know God don't change his mind. So if he feel that way about me smoking weed, mm-hmm. pretty sure it's the same,
mm-hmm.
you know what I'm saying, for everybody. But it's not my job to be like, you should start smoking sin, because he allowed me to smoke mm-hmm. so I can get to a point where you ain't supposed to be smoking.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And his timing is perfect with everything. Because like it I said, I've never thrown up before.
Mm-hmm.
That I did that day.
Yeah.
I only got one lung now.
For...
Threw that up too. Nah, I'm joking. But yeah, it's been an eye-opening journey as well.
Amazing. All right, so we're at the part of our show where we are going to do positive outcomes. This is mm-hmm. where our listeners write in and we read it and we're going to give them advice the best we can. This should be fun.
I don't know. I'm going to be real. I don't know about being positive, but I can be real.
Right. We'll be real positive.
Okay, I'll try.
No, keep it real, for real, because, I mean, a lot of times these people write in, they're really seeking advice. So we're going to help you out. Her name is Trish. Hi, Crystal. My name is Trish. I'm an aspiring actress from Mississippi. I got my first speaking role from Tyler Perry on Ruthless one day as a background actor. I went to school for law, and I'm actually a licensed attorney. But in between waiting for my bar results, I worked background on the show Women of the Movement. From there, I went from background to a stand-in to a PA. we have similarities in our path. I really just fell in love with being on set, so I started taking acting classes. The craft is something special, and I'm obsessed. I love my journey, but sometimes it can weigh on me as I am new and there aren't many people that can direct my life who know or get what I'm pursuing in acting. Any advice on how to grow your network and find like-minded people in your field? My friends and family try to be supportive, but they don't understand how I could be interested in law and want to be an actress. Well, Trish, funny enough, I always wanted to be an entertainer. Actress and a singer was something that I always wanted to do since I was a kid. And my family didn't understand it either. I come from a small town. So if you're from Mississippi, I'm sure you can relate to that. But sometimes life takes you down different paths. You may have wanted to be a lawyer at one point. I've wanted to be many things, you know, but it just depends on the season that you're in. If right now this is what you want to do, at least you have your license to be an attorney. You have something to fall back on, because we both can attest that entertainment is not a foolproof or a regular salary job. So at least you have something to fall back on. But if this is something you really want to go after, you should really go after it and try to see if you have people in your community that want to be actors too, or if there's any type of community theaters that you can join, that you can be around people who are pursuing what you're pursuing. What about you, Emmanuel? What do you think?
Well, honestly, I felt like she kind of asked a SAT question, like the passage. So I kind of got lost in what exactly is she asking? Is she asking for advice?
Yeah, on how to grow her network and find like-minded people in her field.
I would honestly say social media is booming right now with being independent. You know what I'm saying? The best way I know how to grow a network and anything is just put yourself out there, in the sense of, if you really want to be an actress, you really want to be an entertainer, do something, even if it's writing your own script, maybe like a 33-minute sketch, and act it out. Put it up on your YouTube. Yeah. Start a YouTube, you know what I'm saying? And be consistent with dropping content that that involves what you really want to do. You shouldn't have to wait on nobody, because you can go to auditions, you can go to all these things and just trying to get yourself out there. But like you said, it's a give or take, because it is about networking. But one thing people can't argue with when it comes to networking is results. So if you're putting Trish, first of all, shout out to Mississippi, gang, Batesville, Mississippi right here. But yeah, if you put yourself out there and you continuously just drop content for people to see, regardless, people will start coming to you. You know what I'm saying? And just keep auditioning. Try out for stuff. Don't stop.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, definitely don't stop. All right, that's amazing. So we do this thing called what I'm going through and what I'm growing through. Yeah,
that's
fire. I didn't know where I came up with that, but I think that was her idea.
That's you?
Yeah, that's her.
Okay. Look, Ghost Rider. Okay.
So she, so for me in this season, I am going through, I'm going through a lot. One, just being comfortable in the space that I'm in. You know, I am 41 years old.
What?
41, yeah, just turned 41 in October.
Wow.
Yeah, he said, what? How'd I look? What was you thinking?
Fine. You 5 years old? That's what I was thinking.
Stupid. But in my big age, I do find myself just trying to be patient, you know what I'm saying, with finding love and what God has for me, even career-wise, where he's taking me, and being open and being patient. So right now, that's what I'm going through and growing through.
That's what's up. What I'm going through and growing through is just trying to figure out how to implement my purpose. Because I was reading a word one day, and it says, you know, you have to, if you don't know what your purpose is, ask the Holy Spirit to reveal that to you. You know what I'm saying? Because at the end of the day, regardless of what anybody wants to do, if it ain't God's will, it can happen, but it ain't gonna last. Mm. You know what I'm saying? So what I've been going through is just realizing, hey, you got talent, but that don't mean nothing if it's not going towards your purpose. Right. So stop focusing on your talent and focus on your purpose. And when I realized that, that's when I asked the Holy Spirit. I was like, all right, look, I noticed I done got all this fame and all this stuff come to me, but am I doing what you want me to do? And if I'm not, I need to put this on hold and get started immediately with what you want me to do. And luckily, by the grace of God, I believe that it is. I believe he revealed to me that my gift was through entertainment and my purpose is to spread the good news through my content, whether that's music, sketches, all of that. So that's what I'm going through and that's what I'm growing through.
I love that. So to close it out, we do Keep It Blank, Sweetie. And for this one, after talking to you, I'm going to say keep it humorous, sweetie. Keep, because I feel like laughter is good for the soul. Don't be so serious about everything because you make me laugh. So let's do keep it humorous, sweetie.
Keep it simple, sweetie.
I love it.
You know what I'm saying? That's keep it simple. And I think the reason why I'm saying that, because again, like, God is simple.
Yeah. And we try to complicate it, but it's
really not. If you understood what he's asking you to do, you're going to be so mad at yourself when you realize on judgment day, you mean to tell me this all you wanted me to do? It was that simple.
That simple.
When you read my word, it was that simple.
Wow.
Go to hell. No. Keep it simple.
Keep it simple, sweetie. I love it. I love it. Thank you, Emmanuel.
Thank you. I really appreciate you. Out of all the podcasts, this is one of my favorites.
Oh, yeah. I love it. I love it. I love it. Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of Keep It Positive, Sweetie. If you want to write into our Positive Outcomes listener letter, write into keepitpositivesweetie@gmail.com, and that is sweetie with an I-E. You can follow me on all platforms at Love Crystal Renee, and that's L-U-V, all right? Emmanuel, tell them I can find you.
You can find me on all social media at Eman Hudson, except for TikTok. That is the Eman Hudson, because somebody took Eman Hudson. And you can go check out the YouTube. We just dropped Act Coots Crazy On or something. Shout out to Philip Hudson, man. Thank y'all. Thank you.
Yes,
again.
Absolutely. All right, guys. Make sure you tap in with Emmanuel. And in the meantime, in between time, you know what to do. Keep it positive, sweetie.
Keep it positive.
Love y'all. There you have it. These are just a few steps to build financial security. And remember, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there, not just with insurance, but also by supporting resources that empower Black women financially. Head over to statefarm.com to learn more and find a local agent who can guide you on your financial journey. Keep it positive, sweeties. And remember, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.